Time to explain. This is episode 12. Woohoo. This is a Destiny lore podcast where friends come together and talk about Destiny lore. I'm Mike. My pronouns are he, him, and with me as usual is my co-host Kit.
What's good? I'm Kit. My pronouns are he, him, and or they, them.
Yo, what's up, Kit?
Hey, hey. Not too much. Feeling good today. Nice weather out like that. Always good.
Oh, yes. Good for the brain.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, oh, we'll sit outside and breathe some fresh air. It's not unpleasant. Great. Awesome.
Excellent.
Of course, what I want to do is stay inside and play Destiny all day, but...
Good to have a break every once in a while.
I know. Sometimes I wish I could, like, just go play outside. I wish there was a way to do that that didn't involve like, putting a blanket over a laptop to, you know... block out the light, which at that point you may as well just go inside. A real thing I have done in my life. You ever not have internet in a house where you're living, but if you go out in your yard you can catch some free internet from someone else,
and
you really want to watch the Dota tournament, the international Dota tournament in like 2016?
That's a very specific experience.
Yeah, well, it was mine. We're going to talk about the story update for this week in Season of the Splicer. Path of the Splicer 5V. We're doing Roman numerals. So, this right here, and we're gonna move it kind of brisk today because we got stuff to do.
Things to see, people to do.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Wait.
But, well...
Something like that.
I'm going to say for me, yes. I'm going to say I'm putting myself out there. I'm trying, man. I'm fucking trying.
It's weird. It's weird out there.
It's weird out there. It is weird out there. Things are still very strange.
Yeah.
But this is, you can consider this your spoiler warning. If you have not yet gotten to playing Path of the Splicer Week 5, now is your chance to go get that done. And then come back and join us to, talk through it a little bit.
Thankfully, someone at Bungie listened to our episode last week and gave us a light week, just like I requested.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we gotta pull it back. We gotta pull it back this week.
Yeah, we can't kill Mike. Stuff to talk about.
Savathun was going to show up this week, but we got to push it. We got to push it back.
Yep, yeah. So, where are we at right now? This week was very, like, we were resolving a lot of the tensions that we set up last week.
Is mostly. That fair?
Yeah, I don't think completely, but it felt to me like there was a lot of resolution, which... maybe too quick, but I felt satisfied.
I did too. Yeah. And it could have to be with the fact that we talked for like 2 hours about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's that.
So I was like, the amount of time dedicated to thinking about it lasted me all week. So having the characters do the same felt natural, and that was satisfying to me.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree. Like, especially having spent so much time thinking and talking about it, like you said. When I initially started, I thought it was going to feel like, you know, too quick or too easy of a resolution.
Well, I'm glad that the Lakshmi stuff is still open.
Yes. It got the only place that it really got addressed in any way was in the lore page that came out this week. The Beneath the Endless Night one. Did you read that?
I already forget it. Would you please remind me?
Sure, I can remind you. That's totally fine. So it is... Let me just get it. So it is Ikora Rey bringing her anger to bear on Lakshmi.
Oh, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Good point. Please, mm-hmm. please talk about that because I forgot about it.
Sure. Yeah. So it is Ikora goes to warn Lakshmi that if, you know, she incites any more violence, Ikora will personally find a remote icy moon to leave her on, which is a great threat. But we get
this. I guess
this
is confirmation from the boots of the assembler that I was speculating on, that this is the sequel to that, to mm-hmm. Ikora's portion of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. So this is, you know, her directly talking to Lakshmi, who is a great description of what the future war cult headquarters machine is like. That, you know, that Lakshmi is connected by a helmet to, like, a mess of wires above, and that's how this whole thing works. It's very, very kind of physical, very Matrix-y, for sure, but, like, the, you know, the physical version of interfacing with the Vex network, like, what that actually looks like is, you know, a big machine that Lakshmi, and seemingly just Lakshmi, because as we know, you know, that process of fragmenting your consciousness to use the machine is kind of dangerous and worrying.
Made me think of Cerebro from X-Men.
I don't know him, but
it's like the helmet that Professor X puts on.
It's in a big room connected by
wires.
Yeah, I know that. Mm-hmm. I know what you mean now. But yeah, so they have this confrontation. I like Ikora saying, "Cut the BS or suffer the consequences." This season, I'm still a little bit like suspicious of Ikora having two roles that she plays, either the like emotionally supporting everyone or the like, you know, the angry Ikora.
It struck me after we recorded last episode that her, you know, I was listening back to us talking about the Boots of the Assembler, and her paragraph, I was like, I don't think I mentioned on the episode, but it's her being like, "Oh, I have to channel my anger," and I'm like, "Oh, the angry black woman."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was kind of my like my thing too. It's like, okay, Ikora is a little bit. Yeah, it's like the angry black woman or the black woman who's taking care of everyone in the movement. So both of those are a little bit like I'm not. I mean, is that consistent with Ikora's characterization? I feel like she is a character who. Like this sort of righteous rage does feel consistent with her.
It is.
So I don't want to say that's like that. It's only that. I do think I'm a little bit, like I said, I'm side eyeing it a little bit and just kind of keeping an eye and just being like, but it doesn't feel out of character for her.
No. That's not where
the problem lies.
Coming from.
No,
yeah.
It's not. No. But yeah. No, the problem lies in you know. That the major like female black character in the game is playing both of these roles that we know are like tropes.
Exactly.
Of
yes.
black women specifically.
Well said.
Yeah, thanks. We got there.
Anything else strike you from that card?
Let's see. Lakshmi's not backing down, I guess. As you know, she's undaunted by Ikora. She's clearly there's the zealousness of Lakshmi is started to be brought out in here. Like, you get, you know, the future war cult headquarters that have the air of a church. So, you know, you kind of get the sense of her as, like, a cult leader that hasn't been so apparent. I mean, obviously it's the future war cult, but, like, this kind of pushes the cult side of it. Certainty in the face of the unknown is the provenance of zealots, says Ikora, which is great. Great line. So you kind of get the sense that... you get a clearer sense of Lakshmi being an extremist, I guess. than we have so far.
Yeah, the cult part was never really emphasized until this season, at least in my mind, that I can remember, so that's a good point.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about Saint 14's kind of revelations? Did those hit for you? Saint 14 kind of changing his mind and coming around and talking about being affected by Mithrax's story? Like, did that work for you?
Yeah, it did, and I think it went along, again, another character consistency, I think. We talked about the conspirator entry of the Endless Night lore book, and we were talking about, I was saying, like, there's no way that Saint would ever take part in a coup.
Yeah.
Against his friends.
Right.
And this felt consistent with that, where it's like, I think it's a little ridiculous that he never thought about it before. That part doesn't work for me, but the part where once he finally does get confronted with it, and he can't punch or headbutt his way out of it, it really fucks him up. Mm-hmm. And in the dialogue, we hear him correct himself when he says "fallen." I thought that was interesting.
Yep.
And then he says that Mithrax's story affected him deeply, and I believe him.
Yeah, definitely. The thing that worked best about it for me was like the way it's, you know, the way it's written. There's a couple different things. Like Mithrax talks about seeing Saint interact with a hatchling, an Elixni child. And the Saint also, when he talks a little bit about children. And I think that's consistent because we talked, you know, last week about the Accolades lore book, and we talked about Saint 14 as a character in general, and he does seem to be a person who likes and is interested in interacting with kids, which is kind of a little bit unusual in the Destiny world. We don't see a lot of characters with that who are, you know, interested in talking to kids.
That's interesting because I recently finally started a hunter on PC.
Oh yeah, I saw you do that. She's cute.
Thank you.
She's cute. She's like a little
pink
faced exo.
A lot of time working on it.
Did you making the perfect hunter?
Yes.
Good.
I wanted to really capture the character. It really helped. Once I finally had like a characterization in mind, then that really helped me.
Yeah.
Sculpt.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. Fun. Just rip to my Xbox legacy hunter.
Sorry.
Maybe one day.
Maybe we'll rescue him from the vault of glass one day.
But I bring that up because I had to, you know, I'm going through the Beyond Light campaign with that character now. And the intro cinematic shows Saint and Osiris standing like among the people of the city watching Zavala's announcement on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And Saint has a little kid on his shoulders.
Like, yep.
So that's interesting. I wouldn't have remembered that unless I just saw it. So that's a fun coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah. It's definitely just a character trait about him. Which is also kind of interesting for a gay man, but we can talk about that, you know, later, I guess. But yeah, so I thought that was a really good, like, that was part, I think a big part of what sold me on this being actual development for Saint. That the things, it's partly started off by a conversation with Mithrax, and then it continues in a way, like he kind of internalizes that and looks at things that are important to him and reflects that and, you know, changes the way he thinks. So I thought that's a big part of why it was successful. It could have felt really trite. It could have felt really like, oh, I've talked to Mithrax and we exchanged heart words and now I've seen the light. And it's a little bit like that, but I felt okay with it. Like the timing of it was okay. The, you know, it worked for me.
I guess now that we're talking about it, Saint cares about how people see him, which I can deeply relate to.
Yeah.
You know, he likes to be liked.
Well, he's into his own kind of legend, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. He even refers to himself in the third person in that dialogue where he says, "This is not the same 14 I know." Which I guess talks to like his arrogance, but also the showing the change in his mind through what he said is. I picked out that part where he corrected himself, but also talking about his characterization, there's a part where he says, like, you know, he tried to talk to the Elixni kid and the kid ran away. And me thinking, like, he cares what people think of him. Like, now he's thinking of the Elixni as people that he cares about how he's seen by.
Right.
Like, he's now extending personhood to them.
Yeah, definitely. There was one thing a little weird about that whole interaction, which is that when you talk to Mithrax about it, you know, because they both tell kind of two sides of the same story, Mithrax then says he'll reach out to the child who recoiled from Saint, you know, because she acted out of fear and that was unkind, because Saint was just trying to say hello and she ran away. And I'm a little bit like...
She has every right to be
afraid.
She's
a kid, right. Like, it's a little bit of like, you know, but I guess we don't know how Lixney's aging works and like rearing hatchlings, and we don't know how long it takes them to come to, you know, maturity, blah blah blah. But I was a little bit like, oh, I don't know if you need to talk to the kid, Mithrax. I mean, this part is a little like, you know, she's a kid.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
And yeah, and you know, as that part of the writing didn't really work for me this week, was like, okay, I mean, this will heal over time, but you can't short circuit this by, you know. But then he does say, you know, she should know that the image of the saint we use to chase evil is only a story. So kind of the legend of Saint 14 and the person of Saint 14, like, both of those kind of trying to find a way to fit them together.
Right.
That this person that we actually live alongside is not the same as the person that we tell stories about, I guess. Even though it is. It literally is, but it's like separating... Separating the, like, narrative or, like, the way that, you know, that historically the Elixni have conceptualized Saint from, like, the actual reality of, like, them living alongside each other in this place is interesting.
Totally. Something else Mithrax said that didn't work for me this week was he was, like, he started out being, like, see, all I had to do was talk to them, and now everyone's mind has changed, and everything's good. We're not being attacked anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, like, it's been a week, dude.
Yeah. Right. Right. And it's... Yeah, exactly. It's been a week. It's like, okay. You know, the urge to put it behind everyone is strong.
Yeah. Getting Saint on board... Not something to sneeze at, but certainly not a complete total victory to be celebrating.
Yeah, well, the attack seems to have galvanized the Vanguard in general, because that seems to be what led Ikora to stop saying, oh, we're just going to let these radio messages happen, to go and say to Lakshmi, cut it out, literally cut the BS, or we will throw you out. So it's like, you know, the Vanguard has been... It kind of sucks that they had to wait until this thing happened where, you know, people could have gotten hurt.
I guess that's why they call them reactionaries.
I guess. I fucking guess. And I don't... Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And we get that radio message, too, that's Ikora and Mithrax. It's mostly Mithrax talking to us, but then... Ikora pops in, and you're like, oh, are you guys, like, in the same room?
Yeah, there's a couple things that I pulled out of that. One of which is Ikora says that they're going to prove via action that they want the Elixni to be there by holding, by bringing those responsible for the attack last week to justice.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not clear. It sounds a lot like kind of empty words to me.
At least off the top of my head, I don't think we have ever gotten what the judicial system of the last city looks like. We've only ever seen the consensus, which is like, you know, six people in a room voting on stuff. We've never seen like what if there is any kind of justice system.
Right. What is the normal
procedure?
Like
we would think of, yeah.
For dealing with something like this.
Yeah.
It's also not clear who those responsible for the attack are, because we get... like,
but there were like 24 rando civilians.
Exactly. And I don't think anybody knows who they are. It was only Crow there, and it's not like he was taking down people's names in like residences.
Right.
You know? And so the people responsible for the attack... seems I think she's thinking of Lakshmi as being responsible for the attack because she's been inciting. But then what we get of her going to Lakshmi is not. It's a little too, like, lenient, I guess.
Yeah.
She warns Lakshmi, but if she really was like going to bring to justice the person who she really, you know, believed responsible for the attack, I feel like it would be a different conversation. Not a one-on-one conversation between Ikora and Lakshmi, but, like, something a little different.
Right, like the actual justice would be more broad.
Right, deplatform Lakshmi. But she's going to show up on the radio next week, maybe.
She still has her seat.
Yeah, block her from Twitter, you know?
she still has her seat at the table of power.
Right.
Like,
nobody,
that hasn't been revoked.
Nobody
at
has.
All.
Ikora did not go in there and cut all the wires in the future war cult device. You know, there was no. A conversation is just a conversation.
Right.
So I think that's probably going to come to bite Ikora in the butt, and I like that.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good point. I hadn't considered that.
I kind of think it might just be a misstep from the Vanguard. So, we'll see.
The other thing was Mithrax ended the transmission by telling his house to be brave.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Guardian language. That's like the Guardian motto.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
Be brave.
That's what I thought, because the only other place that I'd heard it was Drifter making fun of it. Being like, be brave, be notorious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, typically it's Zavala telling us that.
Mm-hmm.
In intro mission dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's because a lot of that was in both D1 and the D2 content that is in the vault no longer exists. But that's the only other place you heard it.
Right.
But that's what Drifter was riffing on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gotcha.
So I just pulled it out because it's like, it's neat to hear on the running stopwatch of Elixni Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's neat.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Mithrax is very clearly aligning, you know, aligning himself with the Guardians, and that's a big way of doing it, adopting their language.
We have Hawthorne, the non-light-bearing Guardian, so
mm-hmm.
the precedent has been set for a capital G Guardian. We might see a non-light-bearing Elixni Guardian.
Oh, so fucking cool. Ido. I bet it's Ido. Not Mithrax.
Interesting.
Because you know my theory, Mithrax isn't making it out of this season alive.
Ah, yes, your theory.
I don't know. I'm worried. I'm worried about my boy.
I mean, you know, I said it first, but...
Oh! okay. Fine then. Speaking of Mithrax, I just want to mention one thing, which is one of the end of Override dialogues. With Mithrax, in one of the dialogues, he says, "The saint finds use for Elixni. These are dark days indeed." And I liked seeing a little, like, sense of humor from him. Like, it's a little bit... Like, I don't think he means these are actually dark days. I think he's... He's kind of... I think he's poking a little bit of fun at Saint and Saint being, you know, so unwilling to, or, you know, initially so unfriendly towards the Elixni and then, you know, getting to know them. It's also a little bit of this, like, you know, finding use for them. There's definitely still, like, how much is the Elixni being accepted and, you know, by the Vanguard, how much of that is contingent on them helping with this problem that the Vanguard are facing that they don't know what to do about. But I like that Mithrax is a little bit, to me, that red is a little bit ironic from him. And we don't see that a lot from him, so I like that. The funny old dad underneath all of it. So I just like that. I like that little bit of, you know, we've been talking about how Mithrax is coming across as very naive, and I thought that was a little bit of, like, self-awareness and, like, humor.
Oh, I see.
You know?
Gotcha. Now I understand what you're saying. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see.
Something
what
that
else?
Got a... Oh, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say something that came up in Expunge that we were talking about last week about how everyone keeps telling us that we're making progress, but the Endless Night hasn't ended.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we got a reason for that.
Yes. We're not killing the central mind, which is the problem.
We're killing... Okay, yeah.
We're killing all these sub-minds that once one goes down, the load just gets passed over to the next one.
Right.
And of course, our running speculation that Quiria is that central mind who remains elusive, as they say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seems likely.
So, I just thought that was good that they addressed what we were bringing up about, like, why does everyone keep congratulating us, but at the same time, people are rioting because because no progress is being made, so.
Right, yeah. So now we know kind of why.
Right.
You know what would be super cool, but it's probably not going to happen, if the challenge modes in Vault of Glass were somehow related to the seasonal story, and we somehow got to confront Curia in that context. I know that's emphatically not what's going to happen, and I'm totally fine with that, you know? But, like, wouldn't it be sick if... It's like my fantasy world.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And it's fine that it's not a thing that's going to happen, but it would be neat if it was. Yeah, we get more underworld-themed things. We get Expunged Tartarus. I haven't quite figured out exactly why this is the way it is, but the lore book that we are following about Namrath the Weaver, which we haven't talked about because I'm kind of waiting for it to all be finished. I think it'll be better to talk about once I've seen all the parts of it, which I haven't yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're reading that and you're like, why aren't you guys talking about this cool shit? That's why. Holding off on that for now.
The stuff you have to do to unlock the pages are... They're all, like, multi-step, seemingly season-long quests.
Yeah.
So I haven't done them all yet.
Yeah, right. Sorry. I unfortunately can't just play Destiny all the time, or I would have unlocked the whole thing, but gotta go to
that. I think some of them might even not be in the game yet.
That might be true, yeah. Like, some of the challenges, you can't even unlock them yet because they haven't released them.
I think. I know there's stuff on the season tab that's still not unlocked, so it might be part of that. But I know one of them's, like, kill 100 champions in Override.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
Like, I'm doing my best, but I think I might have, like, 30 or, I don't know, like, I'm, like, maybe halfway through.
Yeah,
if that.
Because it is meant to be a long-term objective.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So we take our, we continue to take our time, by of necessity, and because that's how we prefer it. So you know, we get a little more of that this week. A new expunge. Not too much to say about it, really. I don't know. Do you have anything to say about the new, this week's new expunge, the punch? Bob l'éponge.
I like what they're doing with the weekly expunge missions. They're fun. I like that each one has had its own, even though they all have this Tron aesthetic, they've all been unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, different color schemes, things like that, different emphasis. Yeah. Yep. Totally.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Into it.
It seems like they're really experimenting with like what they can use their existing assets to do, mm-hmm. like in game, in terms of activity design.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun. The real thing I had though was about the proper noun review submission.
Proper noun review. The proper noun review. Here we are, Mike and Kids Destiny. Proper noun review. That's the theme song.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
It's very, very, very vaudevillian.
Thanks.
So the two of us out there shuffling off the buffalo.
Uh-huh. Well, as a member of the freak show, you know.
Gobble gobble, one of us. So, when we go into Expunge this week, when we went into Tartarus, what is Tartarus, Kit?
I don't really know exactly what they're doing with all this stuff. It feels a little like obvious, like too, I don't know, like this kind of doesn't seem like a lot of substance. It feels like somebody had like a Word document of like Greek underworld things, and, like plops those in as needed, like around this season. It doesn't feel especially considered to me right now.
Ah, okay.
I guess. Because Tartarus is where they put the Titans. But the Titans are the fucking also in Destiny as like the Titans, like of Titan Hunter Warlock. So I don't know. I feel like the words are confused. I feel like it's not like one to one, which is totally fine. I don't need Greek mythology in Tron colors in Destiny. I don't. It's totally okay, but I am kind of like, the choices about that language are not especially considered from the point of view that I would be considering them from, which is different from probably many people. Like, I don't need to be a stickler about this.
Or a stixler.
Or a stixler. Okay, well. Like, okay, so like...
Yeah, like, I look at it and I'm like, neat.
Yeah, well, let me compare it to Hades, the game that came out, Hades, the Supergiant game, where it does feel very well researched, and it does feel like grounded in mythology in like a real way. Like when, yeah.
Let me remind you, that wizard came from the moon.
I know. I know, I'm overthinking it. It's true.
I appreciate your perspective because they should hire you. And then these things can be well considered, but yeah, don't I would feel bad if you felt let down by it because it just ain't that.
No, it's fine. It's just some things are using these, you know, long mythological, long-known kind of classical references as, like, window dressing, and some are using them in a different way.
Hmm.
Some, you know, works of fiction. And it's a very common thing that modern works of fiction draw on, you know, classical mythology. So this seems to be on the, like, we're using the words, but not necessarily what they mean side of things, which is totally fine.
Right.
So
my proper noun review submission is during this week's expunge mission, and Mithrax says, the guts of this dimension churn, digesting all within. This entire place seeks your end.
That's good.
I thought that was some fun, little bit of writing.
Yeah, I like that too.
As we progress deeper into the network, where they're embracing the bowels metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but just the idea that the whole space you're in is hostile to you.
Mm-hmm.
Scary.
Very.
Especially because it's like, well, in practice, there's a triumph for like doing it in 6 minutes and people are just skipping.
Yeah.
You know, people are like Titan supering over all the intended obstacles.
Yeah.
So it kind of, you know, in real life, it's already been trivialized, but in the part of you that's still role-playing your guardian to some extent, it's very evocative.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that ties into another line during Expunge about Mithrax talking to you and saying that, you know, I hope as you change this place, it's not also changing you. That is Mithrax, right?
Yes.
I can't
yes.
imagine it would be anyone else.
Yep, that's right at the beginning of the
yeah.
mission.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of... And I like that combined with the sort of like guts and guts metaphor and churning of digestion, like, yeah, you getting kind of mixed up in all that, your consciousness, and I'm glad that the game acknowledges that like that's something that can happen. That's interesting, and I that goes with my whole kind of, you know, my whole theory about the Vex network affecting people and characters more than they think.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
Did you have any for this week?
Any proper nouns?
Mm-hmm.
I irrationally like Reese Walker as a name for something. I don't especially
oh,
like
the
gun.
Iron Banner shotgun?
Yeah, the Iron Banner shotgun called Reese Walker. I really like that word Reese with the two eyes. I really like... And I noticed in... the Achilles weaves a cocoon lore book that someone refers to Europa as Europa with two eyes. So the way Reese has two eyes in it refers to Europa as Europa with two eyes. And I just really like that. I like the two eyes together. I just really like the way the word feels, which I guess is what the proper noun review is all about, is just like, things that struck you. So yeah, Reese Walker is my answer for that. Not for any like big reason or anything like that. It's a good name for a kinetic shotgun. I like the Elixni language. Whoever is kind of making up the Elixni language, I'm into it. Great job. Yeah, that's mine. I don't have too much else to say this week. Like I said, kind of a light week.
Yeah.
Which
thank
is
you.
Fine. I'll take
thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you, Bungie.
Yes, thank you, Bungie. Thank you for taking pity on Mike. Oh, I want to mention one thing. I'm at 999.5 hours played in Destiny. I'm about to break 1,000 today.
Wow.
Today is the day.
Would you recommend?
Fucking no. Don't do this to yourself. I would recommend it for a specific condition, which is to say lockdown in a global panini. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gotten into this game. Although I do, yeah, I don't feel like Destiny's eaten my life in the way that some MMOs have. So as far as, you know, a multiplayer online thing, if you're going to play one, it's a good one to play.
That's as good a recommendation as any.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of all I can say. I think that's the most hours played of any of the games that I've played for, you know, many, many hours in my life that I've like made my, you know, game that I play. I think that's got to be the highest one. So, for whatever that's worth, you got me good, Bungie.
The only other thing I wanted to bring up this week was, and I apologize, I lost it now. There was a tweet that I saw, and attempting to credit it is proving very difficult, so I apologize to the crafter of this tweet. it said something along the lines of, subtweeting somebody who was criticizing a work of media because the characters in it were not mouthpieces for the perfect ideology of the author. And saying, like, is this your first day of criticism or whatever? Like,
yeah.
This is not how criticism works. Like, yeah. This is not something you should be expecting when you're consuming media.
Right, that there can be characters who explicitly are written that are not, that you don't agree with, and that's fine, they can be in the game.
Right, and yeah. that can be a point that the person making it is attempting to get across to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's your thought about that?
Well, the reason it stuck with me is that I just wanted to... It felt like a good reminder to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I just wanted to kind of put it on the record that, like, as we are attempting to bring leftist criticism to this multi-million-dollar first-person shooter, that, like, I understand that. I just wanted it on the record that I understand that.
Yes, yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
That
what I'm asking for is not actually for Destiny to always agree with me. I don't think that would make a compelling story. I just enjoy yelling about it.
Where I'm coming from when I say these things is they're still trying to get some message across. Like, things are written the way they are for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, when the clip goes out that shows the Saint cinematic from last week and, like, that becomes a viral thing that people are sharing with each other, like, that, yes, it's taken out of context from the rest of the season, but it's still, when you're the one creating it, you know that that's going to be, you know, a minute, 2 minute clip.
Mm-hmm.
That you are trying to get something across to somebody in that short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is where I lean harder on, like, what is the message that you are trying to get across to me, the player?
Mm-hmm.
And do I think that's a worthwhile message? And that's where I'm talking about my thoughts on it.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to understand. That's why I'm quiet.
Oh, yeah. Like,
still trying to kind of wrap my head around it. Like, I think I know what you mean, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, like, disagreeing with the work doesn't mean that I like it any less necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I just keep coming back to it. It would be boring if all the characters were just mouthpieces. Like, I would hate that.
Yeah, like, you could just read Marx and Lenin and Mao. Like, I don't need Destiny to tell me that stuff.
Right.
I like seeing when it feels like there are choices that the writers behind it did those things.
Right, when it feels like the writers also read Marx and Lenin, for to take your example. Like, who also, you know, that they're engaging with ideas. They don't necessarily, doesn't have to be, like, straightforward. You don't have to repeat it.
Right, like, they still need to tell a compelling story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And telling a compelling story depends on having characters that...
Yeah, like, there still needs to be conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there still needs to be things what happen.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So I totally understand that. I'm trying to explain to the audience, like, my criticism of the thing does not mean I don't like the thing, and it also doesn't mean that I don't, like...
That you don't...
I don't...
Yeah.
I want a reminder to myself and also the listener that, like, I understand when I'm saying, like, Mithrax isn't following the manifesto or whatever, like...
Yeah.
I'm not saying that... You know, I'm saying, like, I would like him to because the things that he's doing make him seem really naive, but, like, I also understand that we're looking at, we, you know, the story's playing out. The decisions that characters make don't need to be perfect.
Yeah.
This is part of the journey that the characters are on.
And, mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that the story is good or bad. Like, I'm not putting a value judgment on the story being good or bad just because the characters make choices that I personally, that my personal ideology disagrees with.
Right.
I'm just pointing those things out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's definitely like something to keep in mind with criticism too. I mean, I like to do close readings of things no matter what no matter what the, you know, the ideology is. Just looking really carefully at like how things relate to each other within the work. So like that's super satisfying to me, you know, on its own merit. Whether or not the things that I'm finding agree with my own ideology, I guess. But yeah, we like Destiny, I guess.
Yeah, I wanted it to be known that because we do a lot of talking, we have done, especially this season, like, and I feel like I say it every week now, but it's like, I feel like this is maybe the best the story's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like interconnectedness and
presence in the game.
Yes.
It's in there and it's satisfying. There are a lot of characters with different perspectives. They feel different. They don't feel like a monolith. It feels like the stakes are real. It's a good story. And I love a siege story, which again, I maintain that this is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just a format that I like. The format of, you know, people who, you know, a great existential threat forcing people to come together and all the attendant conflict that comes with that is just a
right.
good framework for a story. I'm really, really happy with that direction.
Totally.
And that the ideological conflict that comes up because of that, you know. I think I get what you're saying. I think it makes sense. Hopefully the listenership agrees.
So, like, yes, I understand that what a character says and what the author thinks are two different things.
Yeah.
Totally understand that.
Yep. I get it.
Okay. So, just wanted to get that on the record as a reminder to myself and also just mm-hmm. document anyone mm-hmm. If anyone listening was wondering that. I have some self-awareness, yes.
Yes, in fact.
Painful though it may be.
Yeah, sad to say. Unavoidable, really. I've always been like this. All right. I'm out of stuff to say.
Me too.
I don't have too much this week, and that's fine. We're working on a couple of like bigger projects that are outside of the weekly seasonal update, so look forward to those.
Yeah.
As I, you know, feverishly gather references and watch cutscenes that, you know, from way before I started playing the game and all that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Love to hear it.
Yeah.
Living the lore master life now.
I do love it. Yeah, I'm just, yeah, immersed in it. Like, I wish I could just have, like, a lore chamber, you know? Just screens all around, VR, the whole works.
Wow.
The fucking Future War cult ass, like, you know, connected to a big thing. If you would like to reach out, you can send us an email at sometimetoexplain@gmail.com. Please respect our ridiculous dedication to only looking at things as they come out in the game and not when they are pulled from the game's files in advance of being made available through Destiny to the client. So, you can, other than that, you know, feel free, write in, give us your proper noun reviews. What did you find? What words did you find in Destiny this week that you liked? You can find me on Twitter at @Kit_Boyotti. Mike, where might people find you on the internet?
Oh, you can find me at Matt Clubbin on Twitter, or you can find me at my website, which is michaelmccubbin.com.
Hire him.
but please hire me.
Thank you so much for joining us on this journey. Anything else you want to say before we sign off there, Mike?
Mithrax, much like Hideo Kojima, warned us about regretting our words and deeds. We'll see. Excited to see how that pans out.
Fucking cursed.
I hope Quiet doesn't show up.
Oh my god. Quiet's already here. It's Elsie. Oh god. Whatever. You can find us here every week here on Sometime to Explain. Bye.
Bye.
I don't have too much else to say. So if you have something to say, you may do that. You can email us at sometime.
You got something to say?
You got something to say?
You talking to me?
You talking to a podcast in here. Fucking stupid.